Woodstock, we've often looked at live music as, if not an agent of change, which it can be, then certainly a cultural reflection of the times. While you're gearing up for the Alliance for Climate Protection's big Live Earth concerts this summer on July 7th, 07, consider the original day of action, Earth Day, as a time to get your green groove on with a series of great concerts scheduled for New York, Chicago, and San Francisco. The Green Apple Music and Arts Festival is the brainchild of Peter Shapiro, who joins us now. Welcome to EcoTalk.
Hi, thanks for having me. Good to be here.
One of the greener artists, Dave Matthews, who we just heard, is a noted environmentalist, and he will be playing at Radio City Music Hall April 22nd, which is always Earth Day, as part of your festival. Was he eager to participate? I would hope so.
Yeah, I think Dave is a conscious musician, and you know, for musicians who are out there and playing gigs, it's not a difficult thing on April 22nd. What we're doing is actually that whole weekend, April 20th through the 22nd, to kind of bring the presence and visibility of Earth Day into your concert. That's really what we're asking people to do. Do your normal concert at the venues, sell your normal tickets, but let us bring Earth Day into the venue by having a table with volunteers to distribute information, and more importantly, to help us green that venue for that weekend, to provide a range of environmental materials for that venue to utilize as they operate.
Now, did you get preempted at all by the Live Earth concert that was just announced in the last month or two? I imagine you've been planning yours for much longer.
Yeah, well, we started ours last year. We did the first one. This is our second annual Green Apple. The first one was last year, the same weekend, obviously, and in New York. And what we did is we went to the 25 major music venues in New York City, and we got them, again, to kind of bring visibility of Earth Day into their shows that weekend. So we did about 50 shows over the weekend, and it went well. And because our motto is to partner with the venues, to work with those existing shows that are going to happen maybe anyways, we're able to scale it out. And so this year we're going to do New York, Chicago, and San Francisco. We've got the major venues in all three cities, I mean, from the Fillmore in San Francisco to the Vic in Chicago to, you know, Irving Plaza and the Bowery Ballroom and the Blue Note in New York, and as you said, Radio City. And our goal is next year on Earth Day weekend to even to go wider and go to additional cities.
So tell us some of the other acts that are headlining.
Well, we're going to do what's neat is we're doing these club shows. And in San Francisco, for example, Willie Nelson is going to be at the Fillmore. In Chicago, we've got a great band called the Decemberists, an indie rock band. And we're also doing big free shows. And in New York and Central Park, we're doing Lloyd Berkner. It's really the biggest kids act in the country right now. And we're excited because by doing so many shows and doing 20 venues in each city over the weekend, we're able to really be eclectic. So we've got everything from jazz to hip-hop to rock to, you know, everything you can think of. And then on Earth Day, which is April 22nd, as you mentioned, we're doing big free concerts where we're going to invite nonprofits to have a major presence. And we're doing Golden Gate Park with Bob Weir of the Grateful Dead, with Stephen Marley and his brother Junior Gong, with the Grey Boy All-Stars and Martin Sexton. And at the same time, we'll be in Lincoln Park in Chicago with a couple of great bands there, Humphreys McGee, the Disco Biscuits, Big Head Todd, and then we'll be in Central Park in New York, as I said, with Lloyd Berkner. All those three shows will take place simultaneously.
What do you say to people who look at musicians and celebrities who adopt a cause, who these people will say, you know, just shut up and sing, I don't want to hear you preaching, you don't have any credibility to talk about these issues? I suspect you may feel otherwise.
I do, but what we actually took an approach somewhat similar in that my goal was really to let the, more important than any artist was to get the venues. If we can get venues to kind of raise their hand and say we want to participate, we're going to green our venue for that weekend, and hopefully by giving them those materials, they're going to want to stay and operate resource efficient ongoing. So we give them corn-based cups, recycled content cups, straws, napkins, garbage bags, cleaning materials, etc. The artist is actually less important, at least to me, for this event, as it is to get the major venues, to get the Fillmore, to get Bimbo's, to get the Metro in Chicago, to get the Riviera, to get these venues. That's, I think, going to drive everything. So we kind of took an approach, you know, to get Golden Gate Park and Lincoln Park and Central Park, who we're working with, to kind of raise their hand and say, we want to do a major event. I think that's the approach we actually took, because if we can convert the venues, I think that'll drive, that's even more important than any individual artist raising their hand.
And how are you going to minimize your, it's a big undertaking, how are you going to minimize your footprint? Carbon offsets?
Well, Yeah, I mean, and that's the, you know, that's an easy thing for everyone to do. I mean, everyone can do that in their life. We are doing a carbon offset for the entire festival, which will be about 200 performances across the country, and that's obviously purchasing wind credits and planting trees or working with native energy for that. But I think we're going a step further, which is to green every venue that's participating. We are going to provide at our cost, so it's for free, because I'm a former club owner owning the wetlands in New York. I know that, you know, everyone thinks, oh, it's expensive to be green, it's difficult to be green, I don't know how to do it. So what we're doing is saying, we're going to give you for free, like I said, the recycled content, cups, napkins, straws, garbage bags, cleaning materials for the bathrooms, and we give that to the venue for free and let them use that. And knock on wood, you know, come Monday after the weekend, some of those club owners say, raise their hand and say, you know what? Can I get the phone number for the place where we got that? I'm going to stick with those materials.
Why not? Good idea. Now, we just have about 2 minutes left, but I'm interested in your background. You were the co-founder of the legendary Wetlands Preserve Club in New York. How did these two themes of your life come together, your work in environmental areas and also music production?
Well, actually, Wetlands, you know, I was fortunate to take over Wetlands I took it over from a great visionary really named Larry Block, whose idea was to, you know, who usually gets involved in activism and wanting to raise their hand and volunteer and make a difference? Usually, people of youth is where it starts. Well, where do those people like to congregate? Where do they want to be? You know, more than probably the library or the school or the church or, you know, the music venue, the rock club. So why not utilize the venue as a place for them to meet, to gather, to organize? And that was the concept behind Wetlands here in New York. And, you know, when I took over the club in 1996 and owned it for about 5-6 years, I got the bug. I saw firsthand the power, not necessarily, obviously music is most powerful when it comes from an ethos, from social mission, particularly the music 30 years ago was built on that more so than today. But the environment, when you're at a show, you know, you're with people who are next to you, and people together have such power in groups. So the concept of Wetlands was just that. Groups are at the shows. People want to be at the shows. So why not utilize that venue before the show to offer these people a chance to meet? Why not put out at every show an area in the venue with information on a variety of issues and make it easy for people to be educated and make it easy for people to kind of get involved?
And have fun at the same time.
Exactly.
People power. I love it.
Yeah.
Bring back the 60s with a green tint.
Exactly. So that's what we're doing. For one weekend, we're going to bring that vibe to music venues across the country. We're excited.
Great. Thank you so much, and congratulations on what sounds like a great effort. We'll check back with you and see how it goes.
Thanks. And if anyone wants any info on the show, it's greenapplefestival.com.
And that is Peter Shapiro. He is the founder of the Green Apple Music and Arts Festival, taking place in New York, Chicago, San Francisco, and even beyond. That does it for this edition of EcoTalk. See you next time.